Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Now, as we mentioned yesterday, the Ten Commandments have served as a moral blueprint for humanity to live a life of freedom, respect, and virtue for many generations. With that in mind, let's go through each of the commandments and their application in our lives. All right. So understanding the list, thou shalt and thou shalt not, it's easy to understand those, but how exactly do we apply them in our lives? And of course, we're also going to be looking at the quote unquote new commandment that Jesus says he has given unto us. My pastor, good afternoon and welcome to the program. Oh, it looks like we're still not connecting with the pastor. We haven't connected yet, but we will keep on trying and hopefully we'll be able to get through to him. As we keep trying to connect with the pastor, how do you understand some of the commandments? So what I mean by that is, are there any that you thought you understood in a certain way, but after further investigation and more illumination, after spending time in the Word of God, got to understand differently? We see Jesus explaining and helping people to understand the application of the commandments in our lives when he says things like, by simply hating your brother, he equates that to murder, right? And I think we don't take things like that as seriously as we should, honestly speaking, right? So let me know if you have anything, any lessons like that, any aha moments that you've had studying the Word of God, you've been convicted and, you know, God has shown you through the Holy Spirit, need work in this area or that area. Did you know you're actually breaking this commandment and you didn't even know, right? And the pastor's on the line now. My pastor, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
I'm so happy to be connected. Thank you so much. And how are you today?
Doing very well, Pastor. How are you doing today?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful. We're glad to have you on. Let's get into it, Pastor. We're talking about the law of God. Let's go through each of the commandments one by one and how they should be applied in our lives versus how maybe they usually are, maybe misapplied in our lives. Let's talk about that, starting from the first one.
Thank you so much. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 17, but we begin with verse 1, where there is a relational God. He's saying, I am the one who brought you from bondage out of Egypt, out of the bondage. So there's a relationship of love, care, and fatherly support. He is a benefactor. So there is that relationship that calls us to listen and to obey his commandments. So number one says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Or besides me, you must love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your heart, with everything, in all your time, all your resources. That's the summary of number one.
Okay.
So, number two, you shan't have any graven image, or shall you have anything that is even in heaven, on earth, or in the water that you can have as graven and then worship it. You shall not worship such any image, because God is jealousy. He wants us to worship him alone. So if you make images that imitate or resemble angels, images that resemble creation, and then you focus on them for worship, especially worship, that's where God says, no. Even wearing such images so that they can remind you that there's God somewhere. Or even you can worship money, mammon. You can worship money even without making any graven image of money. But the worship of it, you can worship your spouse, whatever they command you to do, even if it goes against God's commands, you do. Even if they ask you to use the tithes and offerings to buy something for them and you obey them, then you are worshiping that God or a goddess.
Sure.
Number three, you shouldn't take the name of the Lord in vain. The name of the Lord in Hebrew, they say Yahweh. They are avoiding calling directly the name of God. The name of God is sacred. In its sacredness, you shall not even trifle with it, with the name of God. Mm. And even swearing by the name of God is not allowed. It's simply understanding from my side. And number four says, remember. That's where it starts positively. Number 1, 2, 3, they are only negative note. You shall not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But when it starts, we begin on 4, we go to 4, we proceed to 4, there is the positive nature of the law of God. And it is the closing part of the vertical relationship between God and man. And it closes with remember. And remember is a positive attribute. Right. It is not saying thou shalt not. And when he says remember, it shows that God had indicated his intentions for us to remember in Genesis chapter 2, when he rested and he sanctified the Sabbath day and made it holy. He set it aside. So he says, remember what I did. And when he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, you shall not work your son, your daughter, or your manservant, your maidservant, or even your ox or your donkey, even those visitors that come to visit you. Because in 6 days, God made heavens and earth and everything that is in it, and rested on the seventh day and sanctified and blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So we are also expected to work and labor and sweat during the 6 days from Sunday to Friday. And then with the rest, we make a meaningful rest according to God. Yeah. And then when we rest, we remember that there's a creator. When we rest on Sabbath day, we are acknowledging that there's a creator somewhere. It's actually commemorating the creative act of God. So when you forget to rest on the Sabbath day, you are actually demeaning the work of God. You are saying we are equal. I can use this time to my benefit. I can speak the whole afternoon today on number 4. Then number 5, it's an institution of family life, mm-hmm. where it also begins the second six commandments that talk about man-to-man relationship and the love between men and men, love love your neighbor as you love yourself. It also starts positively on number 6. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, so that your days on earth will be many. And for sure, those who trifle with the parentage of themselves, they don't live long. Either they end up in drug abuse, money-wise, or with the unfamiliar spirits, and they die early. In life, I've observed that. I'm not saying that all those who die young have gone astray, right, because of not taking care of their parents. Right. So number 4 and 5 creates a hinge between the 10 commandments. Those are the two hinges where if we take the first tablet of stone as a door, and the second one as another, then the hinges are on number 4 and 5. Right. And these 4 and 5 are institutions that God guards against. And the devil is aware of that. He comes and he's on number 4 and 5. And you see, that's why there are problems with worship, and there are problems with family. Sure. That's why the devil centers his arguments and his enmity. So number 6, you shall not kill. That one, we discussed about killing and sacredness of life. Then number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Committing adultery was elaborated by Jesus in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. If you long to have someone's wife or some girl in your heart and you are married, that's fornication and adultery. And adultery is explained deeply by Jesus. If you look lustfully upon somebody, and it's just an opportunity that is not coming your way, you are committing adultery. Then you shall not steal. You shall not take anybody's property without authority. That's stealing. And simple as it is, those are not... Stealing also applies to time. For example, I'm working under somebody's charge, and when they are not there, I loaf around and the time, or I use the time to do my private issues, or I misuse company property. That's stealing. So stealing extends to resources that are not mine. Abuse of resources. And then thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This one is also straightforward. You shall not lie against anybody, even in court, even by keeping quiet. Someone is asking, did you see someone do this? And you saw him, we saw her. And you keep quiet, you're lying. Okay. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his man servant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. This one is pregnant with meaning, I tell you. Covetousness. Someone took my man servant who was working on my farm because he was a good man, and his family, they were exemplary. They were worshiping with us and they were very faithful. And someone actually went and took them and hired them to some other family. And it angered me. It actually angered me up to now, although I have forgiven them. Mm-hmm. And I remember this, and I said, that's why God said, you cannot covet your man servant, your maid servant. And also, it also says, or anything that is the latest models of your phones, your handsets, and your machines that are always being upgraded. So God said, you shall not covet or anything that is not yours. And finally, covetousness will characterize the last day events, last day worshippers, and they will be worshipping. They will be worshipping mammon. They will be worshipping materialism. Mm. It also emanates from covetousness. Those are the 10 commandments in succinct.
Sure,
my sister.
That's powerful. I'm actually wondering if we're able to get into the new commandment, because I have some questions about these that you've just shared. Starting with going all the way back to the first one, where he tells us that we should have no other gods before him. And you talked about how, you know, we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts and minds and souls, and with everything that we have, we must give to God. Can you command love?
You can't command love.
Okay.
But love is end. Yeah, it's end. But God says love one another. He's commanding. When God commands, it happens. He also gives power. He empowers, energizes us to do what he's commanding. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between us. When you command that, please love me, commanding or your wife or your fiancé or your spouse. No, that's not it. So it's different from the way God commands. He empowers, he gives. When he says,
The line is starting to cut out, and we're not able to hear you clearly.
Sorry for that.
Okay, now it sounds like sounds better now. All right. Okay. So you were talking about how love cannot be commanded. When God speaks, he empowers us.
Yeah, when he says love one. It's a new commandment, but he's giving us the power, the energy.
Right. And then
you're doing so. Yes.
That's beautiful. And then you also talked about the commandment, the third commandment, that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Sometimes we, I know that we shouldn't just be saying his name in senseless ways for no reason, just calling out his name in exclamation that's meaningless. That we are all raised to understand that as Christians. But I believe there are other ways that we also take his name in vain, don't you think, that are not literal saying his name for no reason. What about as a Christian who's walking around with the label of a Christian, and I'm living my life in a way that is opposed to him, opposed to his principles. Would you say that that is also taking his name in vain? Because now we hear
people saying,
this is how Christians are. You know, Christians are hypocrites. Oh, Seventh-day Adventists are like this. You know, that's how they are. And when we do that, are we not dragging the name of God through the mud by our behavior?
Yeah, rightly so. Rightly so, my sister. Yeah, that's deception at its worst. So you must not wear a mask of in sheep's clothing,
yeah,
whilst inside, a venomous wolf.
Yeah, yeah. Because it sounds weird when it basically sounds like God wants you to pick, and he's saying, if you don't want to be on my side, I'd rather you go all the way out on the other side, not half in, half out.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually better off just going all the way out if you're not going to be all in.
Yeah, the Laodicean experience of Revelation 3, verse 20 is not supposed to be. Lukewarmness is dangerous. Better be cold.
Yeah.
Then you get help.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and then finally, I know you did say that there's so much to say about the Sabbath commandment. And I, too, have so many questions about the Sabbath commandment. There's so much, I feel, that can be unpacked from that one. So let's close with this one. Then about the new commandment, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But about the Sabbath,
thank you so much,
Pastor. How exactly do we keep the Sabbath holy? Because, you know, when I was growing up, we knew that, okay, Sabbath means we don't watch TV, we don't work, we don't do this, we don't do that. There were a whole lot of don'ts, and we weren't really sure of what is permitted. Is it just about going to church? Is that what Sabbath is? Is it simply about taking a nap in the afternoon before the afternoon program? What is it that makes the Sabbath holy, and how do we keep it holy? How do we get the full Sabbath experience?
The full Sabbath experience comes when you have been working and laboring throughout the week,
mm-hmm,
and with your family, and you respect God in whatever you are doing, all your transactions. And it also talks about being an owner of material possessions, including being a landlord or having men servants and maid servants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's riches. And then when you're enjoying those riches, you must also make sure those who are around you enjoy together with you on the Sabbath day. Allow them freedom and free space and to contemplate the creative work of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wake up and you see creation, that's the very first beginning of keeping the Sabbath holy. Or on Friday, sunset, you are ready to receive the blessings coming on the wings of the angels, coming to bless you. And because it used to happen, when you check in Exodus chapter 16, it used to happen that when they went to collect manna on Friday, they received double portion to take care of for tomorrow, which was the Sabbath day. And if they collected that on another day, it will get bad.
Yeah.
There will be some worms in there. So on Sabbath day, you look at your spouse, you look at the children, you look at your family members, greet them if they are not here with you, and then you enjoy creative works of God. And you must have works of kindness throughout that day. The rest part of it is in internal, not much of the outside rest. The restlessness that we have on during the week,
right,
is cut down by being restful, contemplating on God and worshiping Him in words, in deeds, in music. And also you have to share your food on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
Have the best of your meals on the Sabbath day. Have the best of hospitality on the Sabbath day.
Mm. Oh, we seem to have lost the pastor. Are you still there, Pastor? Pastor, can you hear me? All right. The line has gone completely away from us, and we cannot hear the pastor at all. I think we've lost the pastor. All right. Well, thank you so much to the pastor for coming through this afternoon and for the lesson that he has given us. I believe he was already wrapping up right there, speaking about the Sabbath commandment and what it means, how to actually observe the Sabbath. How do you observe the Sabbath if you are a Sabbath keeper? Seventh-day Adventists out there, how do you keep the Sabbath holy? Do you know what it really means, or is it to you, as it was to me as a child, simply about not working, not going to work, not going to school? is that the length and breadth of your Sabbath experience, or have you understood it to mean something deeper? And when I say something deeper, I don't mean to complicate things, because like I said earlier, it's not about complicating the Christian experience, but simply getting a deeper understanding of what it is that is expected of us. We all want to know what's expected of us. Everyone feels safer that way. Even children are more confident when they know the boundaries and they know what's expected of them. Even if it's something that feels like it's too big for them, they do appreciate knowing what is and is not permitted, right? And our God has been so kind as to give us his commandments so clearly. And then tomorrow we're going to talk about what it means when Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you." What is that new commandment? What does it mean? Does it cancel out the old commandments? Are there any, do we even call them old commandments? We'll talk about that tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.